Welcome to the Real Docs podcast, hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa Jung. Dr. Britt and Dr. Lisa are two licensed naturopathic doctors, passionate about all things health and wellness. They are on the mission to break down wellness trends, variety of conditions with a naturopathic and holistic lens. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to season one, and we're on now episode four. of the Real Docs podcast. We're your hosts, Dr. Britt Lesher
and Dr. Lisa Jung.
And today we're going to be talking about one of the wellness trends that we first started talking about back in the beginning of this year. I feel like maybe it came out early this year or late last year.
I think late last year.
But it's the Sleepy Girl mocktails. You've probably seen this circulating on TikTok, I think, is where it originated. Yes. Essentially, a girl was making her little drink, making her little nightcap. I think it includes what? Tart cherry juice.
Magnesium. And then soda alternative of your choice, I think. I think her name's Gracie on TikTok, and I think she was putting poppy sodas into her mocktail, and I think that was really it for the ingredients.
Okay. Yeah, so we wanted to talk about this because so many people started trying it, and it's funny because I feel like prior to this, I was kind of recommending something similar to my patients, maybe not with the magnesium, but with like glycine as kind of like a little nightcap. I found that a lot of patients were using alcohol as a way to kind of calm down their nervous system at night.
Or weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people are looking for that kind of relaxation effect. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes I would make the recommendation of using glycine, like powdered glycine, and making themselves a little mocktail, right? Because obviously the mocktail means it doesn't have any alcohol in it.
You know what's really interesting is I was doing very similarly, maybe not the mocktail end of things, but just something of a nightcap or just helping people go to bed because a lot of them were, like I can't fall asleep, I can't stay asleep. You know, anxiety or stress or more of the dependence of these substances as well. So one of my favorites that I would always recommend to people was magnesium glycinate because it has the glycine.
Ah, smart.
But it's still magnesium, that that calming mineral for, you know, so many benefits, right? So that was something that I was doing. And I feel like when we both saw the, you know, sleepy mocktail come on to TikTok and it blew up, it wasn't too surprising, you know, when we kind of figured out the ingredients of this mocktail, and we're like, well, yeah, like that makes sense. that's great, great. So yeah, so we're gonna be breaking down what is sleepy mocktail for anybody who doesn't know, and what are some benefits or the ingredients that is used and why they are supported for that sleepy time mocktail.
And why maybe it would be a good idea for people to try or just try some variation of it. And then why some people may think twice before trying this specifically for sleep support, right? Obviously, like with sleep, there's lots of things underlying that can affect your sleep, right? It's funny enough because I know we talked about how a lot of our patients are using these coping mechanisms, alcohol, marijuana, to make themselves sleepy at night. Some people are taking a melatonin, right? To help them go to sleep. And it's just really funny to me just because alcohol, it actually does impact your quality of sleep, right? So it's almost like they go into this vicious cycle where they're, you know, doing alcohol, doing a nightcap, doing a little bit of wine to go to sleep, but then it's messing up their sleep cycle. They're not able to get into deep sleep, and then the cycle continues, right? It's like people get into these ruts.
And it's really interesting too with alcohol is that it is a depressant, right? Or like we call it a downer. So it's great when it comes to that. And don't use alcohol as a sleeping mechanism, just FYI. But, you know, because of its effect, people use it and they're able to fall asleep, right?
Right.
But because we know in terms of alcohol, it steals your carbohydrates.
Right.
That dip in your carbohydrate also is what contributes to people waking up as well, right? Because it's your body being like, where's my food? Give me my food. So it's, you know, it interrupts your sleep cycle. So then people might be like waking up, and then sometimes like they're like hungry or just like nauseous, right? Like
kind of
like that hunger pain. And it's really interesting. I don't know if I ever told you about this. Mm-hmm. When we were in school somewhere, it wasn't also like my patient. It was someone like a colleague of ours, mm-hmm. who I was on the shift with, had this patient, and we were all just kind of like talking about this case study, right? Mm-hmm. And this person was basically using alcohol as a sleep support dependent thing, but she was drinking a whole bottle of wine to herself every single night, and it was just like mind-boggling of hearing that, and people, you know, really needing sleep support, but having to resort to that, right? And it's just so, like, sad.
Yeah, I think that we're getting on into a whole nother topic of mental health and, you know, people's unhealthy coping strategies. But I think that it's important for everyone to know that, like, if you have issues with sleep, if you have issues falling asleep or staying asleep, or you're sleeping but you're still waking up tired, right? It could be a sign that maybe you're not getting adequate quality sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you should bring up to your healthcare professional, right? A lot of times people will just find their coping strategies, their coping mechanisms, and get into this rut of a normal for them where they may not think it's an issue, but it is. It's important, and sleep is so important for us and correlated to so many health conditions. So it is one of, in naturopathic medicine, it is a pillar, right? It is like what we consider a foundational health piece.
Yes.
So we're always asking people about their health in terms of
foundational health.
Foundational health.
Also, if y'all haven't noticed, we're wearing matching sweater
/
pajamas because sleepy time.
Yes.
It is not sleepy time, but we're talking about sleepy time. So.
It is, in fact, daytime.
It is, but not even noon.
Sleepy time gear. So I was going to tell you that, or maybe I already told you this, but back when this trend came out, mm-hmm. I was actually in Hawaii and dealing with some like family stuff. Right. And so me and my little sister, shout out Jessie. We were noticing that we weren't like sleeping very well because of everything that was going on. Right. So we decided to try it.
Ooh.
So we went and got some tart cherry juice, and we couldn't find the just a basic magnesium powder. So I think we got the Calm, and it had a little bit of melatonin in it, magnesium. And then we did the poppy, like, I think it's called the raspberry rose. I think it's that flavor.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, and I did notice that I felt more sleepy. I'm the kind of person that, like, I'm usually a night owl. Mm-hmm. And so that sensation of being sleepy at night doesn't usually come till later, but we were drinking it around like 9 o'clock, and I found that I was like ready to go to bed by 10.
Wow.
Right?
That is so surprising for you.
Yeah.
So Dr. Britt sleeps like, I feel like the average time I've like heard from either Brian or from you or whatever was like midnight to 1 a.m. is like kind of like your sleep time.
Yeah.
I, however, go to bed at latest 10.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need my sleep. And if I don't get my sleep, my quality sleep, my adequate sleep, I will be a monster the next day.
Yeah.
So I'm like sleeping at like 10 latest, sometimes like 9.
Yeah. So. I remember those times where we were in school and I would sleep over and you would get into bed at like 9. I'm like, this is unheard of. I haven't gone to bed at 9. Like, the last time I would do that would be probably in like the 5th grade. Like, we would watch Friends, an episode of Friends, and then we would go to bed.
Oh, my God.
But I think that it's very interesting because I do know there's a lot of research that, like, if you're in deep sleep or if you're hitting your deep sleep stages between those hours from, like, 12 to 2, then research shows that you're actually getting more sufficient sleep, right? So it does matter, like, what time you're going to bed. And yes. Maybe that's why people will notice, like, if they do go to bed late, like say they go to bed at 2, 3, 4 a.m., mm-hmm. even if you do get 9, 10 hours of sleep, you still don't feel like 100% rested. You can still feel groggy. Right. So yeah. I think that's important for people to know too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And some people, like, they'll sleep, but they'll never really get into that REM cycle either, which then, you know, in terms of other studies too, in terms of all that, like, regeneration recovery phase for our body, like, those happen in that REM cycle. So even if someone is getting like, yeah, like, I'm sleeping throughout the night, but I'm, you know, if they're not really hitting that deeper level of their sleep, they still feel like crap the next day, you know, and not rested and still tired. And I think you brought up, like, a really good point too. Whenever it comes to sleep, right, there's so many different things, not just like the mental health aspect of things, but just like metabolic things and so many different things that can really contribute or cause insomnia or sleep disturbances. So make sure you talk to your doctors in terms of what's going on with you if you are one of those folks who are suffering from sleep issues.
Yeah. And we wanted to talk about, backing it up a little, going through the different wanting to talk about, like, the Sleepy Girl mocktail and why it be kind of came this popular trend is because of the contents of it, right? Mm-hmm. So tart cherry juice is kind of one of the main bases of the cherry, the Sleepy Girl mocktail. And tart cherry juice actually helps to increase your normal production of melatonin.
Yes, yes. So tart cherry juice has
That's a tongue twister.
Tart cherry juice has a little bit of tryptophan, which is an amino acid of the various that are out there that we need. And tryptophan is a very important starting amino acid, I suppose, and a main ingredient for our body to make 5-HTP. 5-HTP turns into serotonin, and serotonin is, you know, your love, happy chemical. And then serotonin actually down the line converts into melatonin, and melatonin is that hormone that makes us sleepy, and it's the highest in our circadian rhythm in terms of that start at night and things like that. So it's like, it makes you happy. Yeah. And then it makes you sleepy. Who doesn't love that?
I know. I always thought that was so crazy when we learned that in biochem, that melatonin is actually produced by serotonin first, right? Mm-hmm. So that is really interesting. And then obviously the magnesium that we talked about, right? Magnesium is a very calming mineral. I think magnesium is one of probably our most favorite nutrients that we use for so many things because it just relaxes the body, relaxes the mind. Obviously, there are different forms of it that can be better suited for certain things, but I did see that a lot of people were using the magnesium.
Was that the moon juice?
Okay. And when I looked it up, it had some magnesium, and it does actually have a chelated form with different types in it.
Oh, okay.
And it does have L-theanine in it, right? Yeah.
Well, who knew that?
Yeah.
Who knew about that?
So that's probably why, too, because L-theanine is known for putting our brain waves into that kind of zen mode. If you've ever meditated or been out in nature and really relaxed, those are the types of brain waves that get produced when we're in our relaxed state. So that makes sense why it was helping with people feeling sleepy and things like that.
Right, right.
So why don't you talk about why someone may not want to try the tart cherry juice?
Yes, my cherry mocktail. You know, my biggest concern when this whole thing came up is the tart cherry juice. And you know, there's so many products out on the market, right? And I think in the trend, you know, the original video that blew up, I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
I just know like what it was and what it is and who it was by. But right. I would hope that she talked about like unsweetened tart cherry juice, yeah. right? Like, yeah. do you know?
I don't know about okay. unsweetened tart cherry juice.
Because I feel like, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of like sweetened tart cherry juice yeah. that's on the market. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. at least that's the thing that I worry about in terms yeah. of like any added sugar that's in the juice that might actually interfere with people's, you know, blood sugars, insulin levels, even like your hunger hormones like leptin and things like that, especially when you're going to bed right? Yeah. And even then, even if it is an unsweetened cherry juice, mm-hmm. there's quite a lot of carbohydrates in yeah. in the cherry juice. Now, yes, they are technically quote unquote natural because they were coming from the cherries, but you also don't want to have a spike in your carbohydrate, especially when you're going to bed. Otherwise, that is going to interfere with your blood sugar yeah. pattern and interrupt your sleep cycle too. So that was my kind of like one thing that I like was worried about of like, I hope people are not putting like that, you know, too much into
yeah. the and I noticed thing. That too, because when I looked at the bottle and we talked about it, it does have per serving, it does have a significant amount of carbs and the sugar content is pretty high. I mean, it's a fruit juice, right? So I think that, you know, for us, when we were making it, we were trying to decrease the amount of tart cherry juice, but increase like maybe the water content or adding in some sort of like soda water or something like that.
Right. And maybe like that's why like the poppy is kind of like the main.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be poppy, right? But like I wonder if that's kind of like way to mix, you know, have as like the main liquid and then yeah. tart cherry juice is just like a little like splash or something
splash
like
on
that.
Top. Yeah.
You know what's really funny too is I think I saw another video on TikTok talking about Sleepy Time Mocktail and it mm-hmm. was like I should pay a little more attention to like what I watch but I actually don't, but it was just like these two girls talking about like how they tried it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they were in like any sort of medical field or anything yeah. like that, and one of them was talking about how yeah like it worked, I fell sleepy, but uh-huh. the next day she basically like blew up her toilet.
Oh, I saw this one. And which makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
But I feel like most people don't know, right? But
yeah.
Dr. Britt, you want to talk about why that is and why that can happen?
I was going to say, there was something about that too with the tart cherry juice. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of times people may not be able to tolerate tart cherry juice by itself and can cause like stomach upset and
yes.
things like that.
Yes.
But definitely like the poppy and things like that, adding all of those into the mix, you know, the poppy specifically has the prebiotics and things like that, which have been popping up more and more. People are like, man, this right. thing really makes you go. But the magnesium content on top of it, right, is like you're just setting yourself up to really clear the pipes.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like you got the tart cherry juice and you got the magnesium, you got the prebiotics in there. And so that is something to be mindful of. Like it might not work for every single person. Like it might make you sleepy, but there are maybe some side effects to be weary about. Mm-hmm. So, and definitely if you're the type of person where you're like watching your blood sugar, or if you have like gut issues that you're trying to deal with, like the tart cherry juice mocktail, sleepy mocktail might not be a good option for you. But there are so many other things,
oh
like
gosh,
so many other
yes.
foods too, that like increase the tryptophan, melatonin production. We always learned about like nuts, almonds, mm-hmm. pistachios have a really good amount of like natural melatonin, can help with melatonin production. So I feel like there are so many other foods that people could opt out for, maybe right. not do the sleepy mocktail,
right.
but find something at night that works for them.
Yeah. And like different herbs and different like supplements too, right? Like Dr. Britt said, L-theanine is probably like one of the popular ones. When someone is feeling like anxious going to bed, they feel more calm with L-theanine. And then when you're in that calm state, you can actually like fall asleep, yeah. right? Because your nervous system is like, oh, like, okay, we're going to relax and yeah. rest and all of that. And like herbs, there's so many like amazing herbs that are out there that are like our favorites probably, that is so great for sleep support. Some of them are probably like more sedating,
yeah.
Versus some of them are just more like calming, but not necessarily like sedating, but
yeah
but like in terms of like the magnesium aspect too, like, you know, I feel like we always tell our patients too, whenever we recommend magnesium, start slow and then titrate up. For me, like the biggest thing I tell people is that you might purge if yeah. you take too much, because magnesium does have a laxative effect
yeah.
if you are taking it, you know, to that higher dose. And, you know, for people who are constipated, for sure, that's amazing. You're yeah. clearing yourself out. People who aren't constipated or maybe are more, you know, tend towards diarrhea and things like that, that's a bad time right yeah. there. You don't want to soil yourself in your sleep. You don't want to wake up having to, like, panic to go to the bathroom or, you know, anything like that, too.
The way you said soil yourself.
Sorry.
That's a good one.
We want me to say poop your pants.
Don't soil yourself.
It's like your foundation.
Yes, exactly. No, I love that. And I think sleep, there's so many things. There's so many different things to try when it comes to sleep. I know probably a lot of our patients, the number one thing that I always hear from patients is, oh, I tried melatonin and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a main thing that I think that probably one of the first things that people try when they are having sleep issues is the melatonin. And, you know, essentially when you're trying to go to bed, melatonin is supposed to be increasing, but your stress hormones are supposed to be decreasing, right? Mm-hmm. But I always tell people, in the fight between your melatonin increasing and your cortisol stress hormone levels going down, if there is something like you're laying in bed, ruminating about the next day or ruminating about what happened that day, that can actually increase your stress hormones, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And in the fight between cortisol stress hormone and melatonin production, cortisol is our fight or flight hormone. It's going to keep us safe. So we prioritize that hormone, right? And so oftentimes people are like loading up with this melatonin. It's like, you're not going to sleep
right
if your body is in that state, yes. right?
And a lot of the melatonin that's on the market are really high doses. I would say I've had people be on like 10 to 20 milligrams. And it's crazy. You know, melatonin also is a great antioxidant. Yeah. So for people who are, you know, needing more like support through like their cancer journey or something like that, I think that like they get recommended for
higher
that,
amounts,
you know, mm-hmm. in terms of higher amount. But yeah. for sleep end of things, funny enough, I don't know if I ever told you, like I took a sleep elective when I was when we were in school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was my last elective that I had to like just finish. And I was like, why not talk about, you know, learn more about sleep, if anything. And the physiological amount or uh-huh. level of melatonin that our body produces, I feel like that was a tongue twister. The physiological melatonin level that our body produces, there you go,
uh-huh.
is somewhere between 0.3 to like maybe like 1.5. Like,
wow.
it's a very narrow window that's very, very small versus yeah. a lot of the ones that are out there are like, you know, 5 milligrams, 3, you know, 10, 25, I don't know if there's a 50, but I hope not.
Oh my goodness.
But it's just like crazy, right? Because it's also great in terms of sleep training. If someone yeah. is like, yeah, like I tend to just like I tend to just stay up at night ruminating, I can't right. fall asleep, and we're training the body just for like a temporary time, melatonin is so great for that. But yeah. it also shouldn't be something that you're depending on every single yeah. night either, because then it definitely ruins your own body's production. I don't think it really decreases your melatonin production, mm-hmm. but it might just kind of mess up with that rhythm.
Yeah. Right? To the point that you're saying about like how much we actually release, I also heard that melatonin is actually pulsed, right, mm-hmm. throughout the night, and why maybe those extended release melatonin like supplements work a lot better for some people who maybe are like waking in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Which is an important piece too, because I feel like a lot of people just take immediate release melatonin. It floods their brain, and maybe they're able to fall asleep, but they're not staying asleep throughout the night, yeah. Right? So
you know what's so funny? Like I think we both, like, at one point we were, like, on it, right? And mm-hmm. I love, like, the extended release melatonin because of that reason. And yeah. I feel like it just works better
yeah.
than, like, a regular melatonin. So anytime, I feel like I don't really recommend melatonin a lot yeah. to people. But when I do, it's always the extended release form because yeah. it's more of, like, yeah, why don't we pulse it rather than just, like, have this, like, giant flood peak it. And, you know, peak down and all of yeah. that. So.
Yeah, and I think that too, just kind of tying it all in, like there's so many underlying causes of why someone is not sleeping well, not being able to fall asleep or not being able to stay asleep or sleeping but not feeling well rested. Right. And I think melatonin is one of those things that we see is more of like may not be necessarily a root cause treatment. It's more of like a symptom treatment, but at least it can be used in sleep training so that we can get into a rhythm if that's what it is. It's like we need to sleep train and get our bodies prepared for this routine, right? I think melatonin is a really good, useful tool when it comes to that.
Yes, yes. Could not agree more.
So that concludes episode 4 with the Sleepy Girl Mocktails. Come back next week. We're going to be talking about lots of great things. And leave some comments down below of some things that you guys want to hear us talk about. Sleep tight.
Sleep tight. Be real. I don't know why we're being gangsters.
Yeah. We're being gangsters. Sleep tight.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.